this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are a political, comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerddom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you. We give this podcast to you free every week on iTunes and currentlynerdy.com, so please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our page to all your friends, family members, and loved ones. Because remember, you truly don't love someone until you've spread that gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah, holla back, little homie, amen, grab her by the pussy.
Stop it.
What? Donald Trump could say it. How come I can't? We are your hosts of this illustrious, magnificent, and the moderators of tomorrow's debate. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd, which means I can tell you that the George St. Pierre from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, is now a free agent from the UFC. He has more time to go and see the dinosaurs. And
yeah, I don't have time for you to finish. My name is Ali. I'm the classic nerd of the group. V?
V, I cover everything
else. The intros get longer and longer
it
every
is,
week.
It is literally 1 minute and 30
like every
seconds.
Like, no one's going to sit there and listen to your 10-minute fucking introduction as you mess up the intro.
We should just do a form intro, like just pre-record one.
Yeah,
with like the music
God
behind
sake.
It.
Sake.
That's not fun.
Because then you're always making up some weird thing about how we're like, we won the CMT Awards.
I'm pretty sure we can.
We have.
We get sued for like false advertisement or something.
Seriously. Are we not hosting the debates tomorrow?
No, we're not. Then Chris Wallace from Fox News, that's going to be a disaster. You know?
Yeah, I know, really.
He's already said, you've heard that. He's like, oh, it's not my job to fact check. I can't be a truth squad. I'm like,
oh, fuck you.
Fucking political hack.
Yeah.
He's a fucking tool is what he is.
I don't know, man. He seems like a good guy.
Chris Wallace used to work for NBC.
Did he?
Did I tell you? But when Roger Ailes, right, the CEO.
Good man. Close personal friend.
Yeah. Sexual assaulted multiple women. Multiple women came forward.
Allegedly.
Grab that pussy.
No, it's no longer alleged when it's that many.
Of course. I mean, no one on that. Ali, stop spreading lies and stop trying to skew.
Defame all those people.
Yeah, skew the truth
that
here.
Fat. Disgusting Jabba the Hutt looking piece of shit.
Don't body shame him.
He got Gretchen Carlson, all that, right? It was so clear that they did an internal investigation. They ousted his ass, right?
Well, they're obviously all lying because.
And then what's his name comes out?
They're women.
Chris Wallace comes out. Rather than standing with his colleagues, right? Yeah. Like I stand with Gretchen Carlson, Megyn Kelly, etc. He comes out and goes, I love Roger Ailes, both professionally and personally. Ooh. He's the best boss I've ever had. I was like, if that doesn't reek white male privilege,
well,
I don't
know
what does.
These are the fuckers that are at like the office, like they're like drinking coffee and they're going, hey, just check out the legs on that one. And they started like elbowing each other.
I don't know why I assumed like this was like some film noir in my mind. Like,
well, you know what it is?
Like detective.
I blame Mad Men.
Like, where is look at that name.
Don Draper.
Yeah, the Don Draper shit. All of a sudden, everyone thinks that in order for them to be masculine, they got to wear suspenders and bow ties.
Look at the bosom on that one.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Like, she's like a nice lobster fanny with all the meat in the back. You know?
Oh, my God.
Grab
I've
her
never
by the
heard
fanny
that before. That's a, that's a good
that's
one. A good one.
I got that from Mad Men.
I assume that that's what Fox News was like. That's just my assumption.
Yeah. Or like they talk about, you know, like doctors in like the 50s.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, they'd always hit
with
all the nurses and everything.
Slept with all the nurses.
All the nurses.
But the nurses were also flirty back.
Yeah.
You know, they
wanted.
You
know what it was like? They were like, oh, yeah, well, these nurses, you know, they all want husbands with stature. So they.
So they all wanted
they
the
all
doctor.
They all wanted the doctor.
I like, watched like, Catch Me If You Can. It's a fact.
It's a prestige thing.
Yeah.
That happened.
But I mean, that concept, I mean, is derived from historically. You kind of see that throughout history. Prestige and like marrying prestige and stuff like that, or even.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why Roger Ailes is married.
Yeah.
And that disgusting.
There's a reason
disgusting
why
pig
Donald Trump
human
has been married three times.
Yeah, the disgusting pig of a human being, Roger Ailes.
Yeah.
I just there's something about it that fascinates me. Like the guy comes out and is like, oh, he's the best boss I've ever had. This is if there's anywhere you could see it so clearly, it's usually in the media.
Yeah.
Like white male privilege is like phenomenal. You get these mediocre douchebags who have no discernible talent, but somehow they're paid the big bucks to come out and be the analysts and experts. Yeah. You see this all the time. Mark Halperin, that fucker from MSNBC, right? Literally no discernible talent whatsoever. He's paid the big bucks to be a political analyst. He comes out every day, he's like, Hillary Clinton is ahead, but I think that there's something about to drop. It's like seriously, it's like that's what you get paid to.
That's why I have a tough time. I mean, all of them. Even I mean, I'm talking about guys like Keith Olbermann too.
Keith Olbermann,
or like Joe Scarborough. At least
here's the thing:
Olbermann is a sportscaster.
Olbermann and Maddow. These people are also pundits, but they're also, in their defense, are actual experts. Yeah. They also have pretty vaunted degrees. They're pretty well informed.
Sure, I like Rachel Maddow. A lot.
Rachel Maddow is a PhD in political science from Oxford University.
Well, that's fake school.
Let's just put that out
different
there.
Different from guys like Hannity and O'Reilly.
Hannity is a college high school dropout. No, he's a college dropout.
That's my good friend.
O'Reilly, college dropout.
Yeah. Right. You know, when we were 12 or 13, I had actually read one of Bill O'Reilly's books, and literally
were you traumatized?
Because I had only read like 3 pages. I thought it was stupid, so I put it down. Yeah. But my dad bought it for me from Costco, right?
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
What kind of horrible gift is that?
The first, you know.
Lee, here you go.
He bought me that. I also got a box of those Sabatino's French bread pizzas.
That's
so
good.
I was okay with that.
That was a good present.
That's fair enough. That's a fair trade.
I'm
fair
fine with that. You know what? I'll eat those pizzas and I'll act like I'm reading this shitty book. But the first page is literally, I remember the first page because it was him talking about growing up and how when he went to a private Catholic school, how the nun said that he would amount to nothing. And it was him throwing his success shade into the face of this nun. That told him that he would amount to nothing for being a dick.
Let's be fair to the nun. He has amounted for nothing.
He gets paid for doing nothing.
But if you think about it, in the greater scheme of things, he's kind of a cosmic joke.
Yeah.
He may be rich now, but 20 years from now, we're all going to look back and go, we really paid that guy to talk?
And it's not even like a universal joke, like
geriatric
sexist,
piece of shit. He's disgusting scrotum neck piece of crap.
See, now you would think that, but you know, you got guys. I
expected better from you.
Yeah.
Scrotum neck piece of crap.
Not when it comes to these people. There's something visceral. There's something in my gut. I feel it in my gut.
Yeah. The problem with that, though, is like, I mean, you still got guys like Strom Thurmond and shit.
Yeah.
You know? Orrin Hatch.
They're my favorite of all time.
They sound like horrible like wrestler names. I'm Strom Berman.
There was a Strom time. There was a
Berman.
Well, here's the thing. The era of the golden era of pundits is gone, right? Where pundits actually had decent, you know, villain names.
Dan Rather.
And they were actually relatively smart,
right?
There was a time, this is the time of Buckley and the time of Vidal, right? These are like traditional pundits, right?
Oh,
like
I'm thinking, old school, who am I thinking?
Intellectual.
The news guys, Dan Rather, who's the other one from ABC?
I mean, Dan Rather's old school, Walter Cronkite.
There was the other one who died of like cancer.
But these you're talking about journalists. That's different, right?
What?
Ron Burgundy.
No, man. Peter Jennings.
These are journalists. I don't think you understand the difference between journalist and pundit, okay?
I do, but I'm just naming names.
Because like this is a serious problem, right? O'Reilly and Hannity are not journalists. And they're very open about it. When you ask them, they come onto The View or whatever. They go, you got this many things wrong. He's like, well, I don't have to be factually accurate. I'm entertainment. I'm a pundit. My job is just to give my opinion. I'm not reporting the news. Because if you report the news wrong, you can get in trouble, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to because he's technically entertainment. Same with Hannity. But
my good friend,
people
by the way.
Think they're journalists because they look like journalists. They're at an anchor's table.
They wear the suit. They wear the suit.
Whereas traditionally, pundits sat on panels.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because when you think about it, really, the set for shows like Hannity or O'Reilly or even like Maddow and stuff, they all look like they're news desks. Yeah. You know, they don't actually...
The original pundits were very much like the McLaughlin group and all of them. Mm. The idea was that they sat usually in chairs with an interviewer somewhere that moderated it, right?
Yeah.
They don't longer do that. Now they make them seem like they're journalists, and that's problematic, right?
And then
Fox News' big thing.
It's like the center of attention thing, too, like the middle of the screen. Yeah.
This is why Fox News is such a problem and why Fox News and every study has shown that their viewers are the most misinformed. That doesn't happen overnight. It's because they are predominantly punditry that passes off as journalism. Megyn Kelly, O'Reilly, Hannity are all pundits that are not, they don't have to report anything accurately.
I always attribute them to the, okay, so, I mean, obviously your parents are proficient with the emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like my mom does this thing where it's like, you know, the chain emails.
Oh, yeah. You're
like, oh, if you type in, you know, if you're ever being held up or stuck up at an ATM, if you type in your PIN code backwards, it'll call the cops.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, bullshit God. Like that.
Yeah.
I just got a chain mail from my mom.
Yeah.
Literally before we recorded this podcast, saying that at 12 o'clock tonight, we should all turn off every electronic device that we have because cosmic rays are coming closer to the Earth and they're going to interfere with our devices and cause us physical and mental pain and damage.
Like, you know, like the Facebook, it's like, I do not allow my pictures to be public use on my Facebook status thing, right?
We're going
to
talk about how that became a thing, though.
Yeah. So, like, the thing is, I always consider those guys like O'Reilly to be like that in that our modern media.
That is exactly what they are.
Because I can't tell you how many times I'll be sitting there and I'll be reading someone's Facebook update about whatever politics, right? And there's always an old, elderly, mostly white person usually going, well, that's not true, this and that. And then if they ask for the source, they go, it was on Bill O'Reilly that night, right? And that's a problem because it's like if O'Reilly openly admits the fact that he is not a journalist, but these people take him to be, and they, let's face it, they make it a point to make it look like and seem like he's a journalist.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's deliberate misdirection, right? The thing with – there's a history of why this happened. Right, it starts out in the 90s. It actually is deeply tied to the Clintons, for the record.
Yeah,
I don't. We'll talk about the history of Fox News some other time. Remind me, maybe next week or the week after.
Yeah,
we'll talk about the history of Fox News and how that chainmail practice, their embodiment of chainmail.
That's right.
Became
the links in the chain. Protect yourself from not
that chainmail. Okay, right? Yeah. The email chain. he's talking about literal chainmail. How that became the model for Fox News, right?
I knew it. We'll talk about it.
It's based off rumor. Yeah. Fundamentally, it's about rumor. Someone whispered something, and then it becomes something.
It's that damn dark age, you know, middle ages bullshit.
But the thing that rumor frustrates me is like Donald Trump has been going on and on about this rigged election, right?
It is. It's rigged.
He talks about he's retreated from the media. He hasn't held a press conference in like months now.
I think that you got to figure that they're probably trying to muzzle him the best that they can right now.
But here's the frustrating thing. When Hillary Clinton wasn't doing press conferences, they literally had a countdown clock.
Yeah.
600 days without a press conference. Yeah. 45 days without a right? When Donald Trump doesn't do it, it's not a big deal. There's so much sexism, misogyny in the way this thing is covered. It's ridiculous, right? Well,
I think it's crazy is that it's like with the SNL skit coming out too.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden it's like.
He claimed that SNL was rigged.
Yeah.
You saw that tweet, right?
Yeah.
He's like, it's not funny, not a funny show. Alec Baldwin sucks. Election is rigged.
Yeah. Well, Alec Baldwin does a spot on Trump. I can't believe
how good of a Trump is. You know what makes his portrayal particularly phenomenal? Is it is not overly exaggerated.
I know.
It's most like the first debate was just him repeating the lines.
Yeah.
Right? With just mild, like, exaggeration. And that's what makes for the best satire, in my opinion.
I think it's interesting, too, because like, we talk about how he's the reality TV candidate, right?
Yeah.
And
but for a reality TV candidate, he really can't take the media.
Exactly. But what I find interesting, they were all talking about, like, this was early 2000s, maybe late 90s, where they're talking about how that showed the real, remember The Real World?
Yeah. I love The Real World. Right? I still watch The Real World.
So, you know, like, it
Do
all...
Do you want to pause and to retract that?
No, why would I retract that? I love The Real World.
I didn't even know it was still on.
I watched the challenges. I fucking DVR this shit.
Anyway.
I wanted to be on that show at
one
time.
And we wonder why Donald Trump is our Republican nominee.
So The Real World started as these like socially in the early 90s, mid-90s. It was socially conscious kids or you know teens trying to do things. And then Hawaii happened and all of a sudden it became about drama
early,
and two sex.
Because you remember this. Wasn't the early Real World, they actually did like, they did stuff.
Like activists. And then Hawaii came around and it became about who's fucking who and all this other stuff, right?
One guy became a mayor from the first Real World.
Yeah.
One guy was a mayor. One guy was an AIDS advocate who ended up passing away due to HIV and AIDS.
That's horrible.
And then one guy was Puck.
Yeah, Puck. Well, Puck was the wrench in the plant. He was kind of crazy one.
This
right?
is the thing, though, right? And that's a perfect analogy for media in general, right? Yeah. Journalism started off as what, fundamentally? Reporting things.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But now, this is why I hate when he talks about Donald Trump complains that the media is rigged. It's not, because the system is like the real world. It turned into sensationalism.
Yeah.
It originally had a purpose, and then eventually it's like, well, whatever sells, do it.
Mm-hmm.
So now journalists and his own campaign CEO, Steve Bannon, who runs Breitbart, by the record.
My close personal friend.
Yeah, whatever. Steve Bannon once famously said that the great thing about journalists is that they may actually be liberal, and they may vote Democrat, but if you give them a story, It doesn't matter what their ideology is.
There's no affiliation for them when it comes to the
Because at the end of the day, it's the economy, right? Yeah. It's economics. It's pure incentivized. I need to make it on the front page.
Ratings.
Which is why I'm always fascinated. I'm like, if tomorrow something happened to Hillary Clinton, you know for a fact that they would cover it.
When we literally have evidence of this, right? Her health thing.
Oh, God.
Such a non-issue.
It's the dumbest thing
complete
in the world.
Non-issue. And all of a sudden, I mean, I remember, I mean, well, there's going to be a media reckoning after this where, like, for a whole 2 weeks, it was like Hillary Clinton's health scare. Well, does it remind, does it prove she has a trust issue?
What?
And honestly, literally, this fucker.
She wasn't, like, letting people know that she was sick.
Yeah, I kid you not. New York Times, front page news, mind you, at the same time that that was going on, Trump University was being slammed with fines for committing actual illegal activities, right? So at the same time, because that's bureaucratic, it's not that interesting, right? The video of her is more dramatic. It's like Hillary Clinton's health issue proves she's got a transparency problem.
It's even worse is the weird conspiracy. Like I heard at the debate, they circled something on her jacket and be like, are they doing metal rods to keep her upright because she's dying or something?
Yeah, the media, like, I mean, that's the point. The media will report anything, right? They don't give a crap what it is as long as it's sensational.
They're only loyal to themselves. They realize that. They're only loyal to themselves.
This is why when he says that the media is rigged, yeah, the media has a liberal bias, but like a white liberal bias, let's be clear, right? Yeah. A white liberal bias. It's not rigged because they will report anything.
Yeah.
We know this because they do it. It's not like Hillary Clinton has gotten good coverage.
Yeah.
They've actually been... The media became what it was thanks to the Clinton mania, right?
Yeah.
It was Clinton mania that turned media into this thing like, oh, we can do this. Well, we just talk about scandal. And what, you know, politics of personal attacks is what Bill Clinton called it. Yeah. And he's right. Because before that, there was a sense of decorum, right? About media, you reported things, you gave the news... Pundits did their punditry, which was generally intellectualizing things.
Yeah.
But there wasn't commentary. I mean, Franklin, FDR, it was known that he had polio.
Polio, yeah.
It was agreed upon by everyone that you don't show the president in ill health.
Yeah.
But didn't that change during the Vietnam War it pretty much? Yeah, like.
Well, but then again, what's his name also hid his health stuff. Kennedy, he had Addison's disease.
What is that?
I don't know what disease is, but it's a type of disease that causes you to take all sorts of pills.
Hmm.
So it's a lot of people have health issues, and generally the media has been like, yeah, we're not going to touch this. But it shifted. The 90s was when we really started to see sensation journalism take off, and predominantly because it's incentivized, right?
Well, that's when tabloids and shit were taking off too, right?
Yeah, if the free market runs media, right? The media is not run by liberals. It's run by the free market.
Yeah.
It's run by a capitalist system that rewards ratings and clicks and views, right?
I was watching, I was up late on YouTube one night. It's just horrible to do, you know, because you're fucking, you're going.
Especially if you're trying to sleep.
Yeah, you're going from cat videos to random things. All of a sudden, I saw celebrities attack, and I was like, oh, this looks fun, right? Because I saw Kanye beating up a reporter, right? Click it, and it's a bunch of celebrities getting harassed by paparazzi and them lashing out. And I'm like, you
realize this. Yeah.
I'm like, damn, dude. In a way, I feel horrible for these celebrities.
No. There's I've seen those videos. The ones where celebrities attack. It's quite hard. Some of them, I mean, they're assholes, right?
Yeah.
But you realize that journalists, they treat them shit.
Yeah. Like Katy Perry's exiting from a parking lot and they're just surrounding her and just. Yeah. She rolls down her window. She's like, do you guys not know about the paparazzi laws? You're not allowed to do this. And the guy's like, you're crazy. You're so crazy. What's wrong with you? I want to punch you in the face right now.
It's no different from, ghost hunters trying to provoke ghosts and haunted houses and whatnot. Be like, come and attack me right now. Throw a lamp at me.
I hate that show so much.
Zach Biggins.
I hate that show so much. Like when you mentioned it, I legitimately, on the inside, was ready to punch one of you. I didn't know. There was an instinctual reaction, not because any of you did anything wrong, but because I was so angry at that moment that I was legitimately going to hit somebody.
Just don't hit me. Hit V. He could take a punch.
So the thing about the media that frustrates me is that, look, it's not rigged. But the thing that he does that goes even further is he doesn't say that the media is rigged. He says that the election is rigged.
Yeah, that's
a bold claim,
this
bro.
This is a very bold claim. No.
It's a bold move.
On one end, this is a Russian talking point. Now, I'm not one of those Cold War types,
I'm not like, oh my God, the evil empire is after us.
Yeah, you are.
Joe McCarthy hasn't penetrated your mind.
Russia is not doing anything that the U.S. hasn't done before. The U.S. has been messing with people's elections for years and years and years.
That's false.
Just absolutely true. The thing that Russia is doing, though, is pretty common, right? What they are trying to do is delegitimize nations.
Democracy?
Certain democracies that they feel are in the way of its national interest, specifically those tied to the EU, those tied to NATO. They've done it in Europe, the rise of the national hard right, National Front, Alternative for Deutschland, all of those, Viktor Orban, all of those people.
And they're all gaining traction.
Yeah. They all were funded by Russia. Russia gives them money, right? Because they're isolationists. They want to leave their...
The EU
and NATO. We see that Donald Trump's rhetoric actually mirrors that, right? If we find out, they've already confirmed that Russia is meddling, WikiLeaks, all that they confirmed, that's Russia, right? DHS already confirmed it, FBI confirmed it, CIA confirmed it. If we find out that there's even more going on, right, then Russia's already done its job. They've already delegitimized the election to the point that we are quite uncertain about results because voter fraud has become such a big thing thanks to Donald Trump. His supporters are very adamant. Over 70% of them believe that the election is rigged. Not the media, voting polls. And here's the thing. His surrogates come out there and they try to clean it up. Like, oh, he's talking about the media. At the same time that they're saying that, he's like, no, I don't. He tweets out, absolutely the election, absolutely the media is rigged. And so too are polling places. He literally contradicts them when they try to clean up. It's like, oh, the media is rigged, the media is rigged. He's like, nope. I meant the polling places.
How is the media rigged?
He means that the media is not... What he's trying to say is that the media is not fair to him.
So the media is biased?
Is so what they're basically, saying that they want Hillary Clinton to win.
Which
so
is not true.
Yeah, right. Which so they in are fact, showing him in a bad light, in a worse light than Hillary Clinton.
In fact, we just talked about it. Media is rooted in the free market system and capitalism. Guess what? That means that journalists would love nothing better to do than to write the comeback story.
Yeah.
The story that Donald Trump, the underdog, won. They would love that because guess what? That gets them ratings. Yeah. They will spend months talking about that. Yeah. Whereas a Clinton win,
it's like, you kind of expected it, right? Yeah. But it's actually, this is interesting. Being that it's Halloween, I was reading about this really famous axe murder.
Before you go there, I just want to finish with that we've actually studied voter fraud for the record, right? Loyola University studied voter fraud, and in 14 years, they found 31 cases out of 1 billion.
Jesus Christ.
31 in 14 years
out
of 1 billion. Just to highlight that the idea of voter fraud is not a real thing.
That was in the 2000 election, right?
2000 election.
So, you know, this sensationalism in journalism is not a new thing. I mean, it's become big again in the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, it actually has roots with our early American or past, since that it actually is considered to be kind of started in the early 1800s in this country with the murder of a prostitute named Helen Jewett.
Helen what now?
Helen Jewett.
Okay.
It's Helen a fake Jewett. Name, actually, because they, you know, they run under aliases.
Did you just say something racist?
Absolutely not.
Just call her Cinnamon.
I never say anything racist.
You can't be racist.
Call her Cinnamon? Stupid.
So in 1836, around this year, let me set up the story premise for you, right? Okay, so Helen Jewett is a prostitute in a brothel, right? At that time, there's tons of brothels that are all around.
Why wasn't I around during this time?
Well, you wouldn't be able to survive. You'd be dead in seconds.
Probably true.
Yeah,
you'd have so many diseases, more than you currently have.
Yeah. Seriously.
This is true. I'd be in all the brothels all the time.
You'd have all the syphilis.
Yeah.
Syphilis for everybody, it's baby.
Cheap, too.
Yeah.
Ooh. So there was a man by the name of Richard Robinson, who was a 19-year-old guy, good-looking kid, worked at a dry goods store, right? And he would go and he would frequent these brothels all the time.
Sounds like a good guy.
He and Jewett ended up basically having like a relationship with one another.
Ah.
Right? So they ended up having the thing because she was considered to be fairly attractive. And then he was a young guy and they kind of had a thing going. Now, what happened was he would go to her all the time, but he would also sleep with other prostitutes.
Right? As a good man should.
That upset her because they thought, you know, she thought it's like, yeah, it's a job for her, right? Being sleeping with people. But it's like she was technically kind of in this relationship with him. Now, she would go and she would beat the crap out of other prostitutes that he slept with until he had promised that he was going to ask her to marry him.
Mm-hmm. Make an honest woman out of her.
Now, you find out later, she found out later on that he was actually planning on trying to marry a woman that wasn't a prostitute, right? And she was also of kind of a stature and of a lot of money. So he was trying to basically marry up mm-hmm. to somebody else that was higher in society. Now, that upset her a lot. So she claimed that she was going to out him for something, like some former thing that he did that ended up getting a girl killed, and you know, when he was younger. Uh-huh. So now that's kind of the backstory, what's going on. Now, what happens is one night, April 9th or April 10th of 1836, he ends up going to the brothel.
Uh-huh.
Now, all the prostitutes see that he goes in. He goes into Jewett's room, right? And then they see someone with the same coat that he has leaving. They say that they hear a moan and they hear kind of banging around, but they're like, okay, well, they're just having sex.
Yeah.
Right? And then they begin to like smell smoke. So they open the room to Jewett's room and they notice that her body is on fire.
Mm.
And the person who had left the room, they weren't exactly sure. They thought it was Robinson, but they weren't sure. Right. Uh-huh. They saw the body on fire. Right. And then she had been hit with a hatchet 3 times on the side of her head, and someone had lit the body on fire. So like left side of her body was completely burned.
Uh-huh.
Now the madam that owned the brothel,
uh-huh.
Mrs. Rosina Townsend, ends up calling the cops. Right. Uh-huh. And then they think it's Robinson. So Robinson ends up getting arrested. Now, this is what's interesting. Normally at that time, news stories would basically be like, man accused of killing prostitute,
mm-hmm.
right? But there was these things called, like, they're called, like, penny newspapers, mm-hmm. where they're a little bit more sensationalist. And a man by the name of James Gordon Bennett Sr. Mm-hmm. was one of the few people who was able to actually look at the crime scene. And he describes in kind of these gory, weird details in his article in his newspaper about the way it looked. And all of a sudden it created this explosion of media coverage that we never saw before, right? This was like the OJ trial and like in the 1800s, 200 years ago, when you think about it, right? He talked about, you know, like the blood and how gruesome the murder was,
uh-huh.
you know, and like, it, weirdly enough, like also the expert talked about how he really liked her breasts. It was a really weird fucking thing, right?
Yeah, they had some pundits.
Yeah. But he goes into this thing where he keeps talking about this, and then he notices that the newspapers begin to sell more and more, the more they talks about how grisly this murder is, right? And then it goes on to all of a sudden people creating lithographs, these famous pictures of Helen Jewett being murdered in her bed.
Uh-huh.
And it creates a media frenzy. Now, the trial itself was also covered in that same way, right? Robinson is he isn't tried, but he goes to trial, right? And he actually, and this is what's also crazy, is that he's found innocent because, and this is an interesting privilege part going in there, because everyone who could corroborate that he was there that night was a prostitute, so no one, the judge didn't believe any of them because they were women of ill repute. So All their testimony was basically thrown out, and he was considered innocent.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I think is crazy is that the media frenzy also, it's like a Brock Turner thing now too. All of a sudden, the media reports, well, you know, everyone in the working class thinks this guy is guilty, but the judge doesn't. So Robinson ends up
mm-hmm.
going off, you know, basically not being arrested and not paying for the crime, and it causes a media frenzy. Where more people, now all of a sudden more people are buying more things, and now they're creating all sorts of opinions about the case where mm-hmm. normally in the media there wasn't any before.
This is currently the same thing that's happening with the WikiLeaks story, right?
Julian Assange.
No, I used to be clear, I'm a pretty hard liberal, and like most liberals, I believe in transparency of government but personal privacy, right?
Yeah.
I do believe in that.
I thought you were like a super conservative.
Yeah, no. Julian Assange, I was a big fan of, and V, you can attest that I was a big, big Free Snowden guy.
Yeah,
Free Chelsea man. I've always been, right? Julian Assange, I've always been a little bit iffy on because of the rape allegations in Sweden, right?
Uh-huh.
So I've always been like, maybe not so much. And he recently possibly had some interaction with an underage 18-year-old, 8-year-old girl where he sent her
Lord.
Lewd photos. That could be a false allegation, could be, so I don't want to smear him, right? But uh-huh. I've always been a little bit leery of him. But I've always appreciated what WikiLeaks did, right? I find it funny, though, that WikiLeaks, over the years, though, I've been frustrated with WikiLeaks because they've been losing the moral high ground. They mm-hmm. used to be about government transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Now what they do is they actually end up costing.
So the two things that really turned me off on them is, one, they released a bunch of info about Saudi Arabia, right? And in the process, outed a bunch of gay Saudi Arabians.
Ooh. Now, oh, that's dangerous.
In a country where homosexuality is forbidden and punishable, that is horrific.
Yeah.
That was horrific. And they never apologized for it. They just did it. They don't care. They just did a document dump. Here you go. Outed a bunch of them. Then they did the same thing with Turkey's coup. They released the private information of a bunch of female activists, literally in the process of the coup. I mean, this is how you get people killed. And those really turned me off to WikiLeaks. Over the past few months, or especially in this past few weeks in October, WikiLeaks has been trying extra hard to undermine Hillary Clinton's campaign by releasing both her transcripts from her paid speeches and a bunch of hacked emails from John Podesta, her campaign.
What's their issue with Hillary?
He hates Hillary. They have personal animosity towards each other. They have, like, legitimate... He hates her. Oh. He thinks she's an evil imperialist bastard. Oh. She, in her part, also hates him. She once mused, can't we just drone his ass?
Oh, God.
They hate each other, right?
Jeez.
They legitimately hate each other. And it's now been revealed that these are all coming from Guccifer 2.0 and other Russian hackers. Oh. That this is actually Russian-sponsored, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, that doesn't mean the information isn't important. It means we should still take a look at it. They're not making as much of an impact, right? They're just because they're just... What they're doing, though, is they're revealing how campaigns run.
Yeah.
Anyone who's actually worked for a campaign office or has ever seen politics, the politics is actually really polished when you see it on TV. It's really ugly on the other side. When you email each other, you often email each other quite uncomfortable things. Your uncensored thoughts, right?
That's true.
Like, how would you feel if our emails got public, V?
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? We say stupid shit.
We really do.
We do.
Our
text messages, right? So, like, one of the things that's come out, really, is that John Podesta really likes to call a lot of people dick. Yeah. Right? It's like, that's the big thing that's come out. But WikiLeaks keeps doing it. Now, this is a problem because, one, they're not publishing anything of Donald Trump's, no. Right? So this indicates a very clear bias. It makes them suspect. It makes them go from a transparency platform that holds governments accountable to playing partisan politics.
Yeah.
And that's problematic for me, right? The second thing it does is it does reveal kind of this other side that's either not useful to us, it doesn't actually help us learn anything, but it's embarrassing. I find it particularly fascinating, though, that during the Bush era, WikiLeaks was like every conservative hated WikiLeaks. They hated Julian Assange, right? But now, a South Carolina representative was like, thank God for WikiLeaks.
I know.
Like, really?
When you consider, during the Bush era was like one of the worst times for government, literally government invading our privacy as private citizens.
Yeah.
You know, Patriot Act, amongst, you know, all sorts of other things. And all this, they were like, oh, it's all about safety. It's about making sure that we're going to be okay, right? Yeah. And that we can weed out all the bad people.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the black guy comes in office, and all of a sudden, the government becomes the enemy.
Yeah, all of a sudden, the government's the bad guy. You critiqued the government back in the day. You were a traitor.
Yeah.
If you critiqued the Bush administration, you were a traitor. Now, if you critique the Obama administration, you're a patriot.
You're
a
patriot.
These flips are what fascinates me. And then the flip from Julian Assange being the enemy to being the hero in the alt-right and the conservative movement's eyes. I mean, there was a time they really hated Julian Assange. So it's fascinating, but it goes right back to the media, right? In these WikiLeaks, now I've looked at this, nothing has been revealed. Nothing particularly damaging. All we saw, it confirmed everything we already knew. Guess what? Hillary Clinton is really rational. Like, literally, she goes, yeah, you know, the Republicans really obstructed President Obama. It was very unfair to him. I feel bad for John Boehner, though. This is the type of woman that was revealed. There's nothing particularly scary about it. But as a historian in particular, I'm worried in the sense that it's good that we have them. They are an archive that we can eventually use. But when we do history, we work with what's called primary source documents.
Right? Mm-hmm.
These are documents that are directly contemporaneous with what we're studying.
Okay.
And those primary source documents, we learn, cannot be read out of context.
Uh-huh.
They have contextualization. Yeah. They have to be connected to broader other texts. Texts are usually intertwined. There's what's called intertextuality. It's an actual word, right?
Sound like
intersexuality, intertextuality. Yeah. You look at that, you learn how to historicize phrases, words, concepts, right? Everything has a time and a place, right? A tent in the 19th century means something different in the, you know, 1900s BC.
Yeah, pitching right? a tent to me right. may mean something so different you know what to I mean? You.
Like there's, when we look at primary source documents, there's a lot of attention to detail that's necessary. The problem with the WikiLeaks dumps is that they're so impartial and parts of emails that they end up becoming completely irresponsibly interpreted. Mm. And that's my big frustration. It's not that the WikiLeaks are releasing them. I don't care if they release them, right? They shouldn't play partisan politics, but if they're releasing them, I don't care. What frustrates me is the way the media handles it. So they did this thing where like, oh, we found a, oh, quid pro quo in the email, right? And this was actually not WikiLeaks, it was an FBI notes. So all the things were like, quid pro quo, proven, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. Turns out that it wasn't actually quid pro quo. The guy simply used the phrase quid pro quo.
Yeah.
Right? Like there wasn't an actual quid pro quo. He simply used the phrase. So they took the phrase as if any moron is going to be like, hey, let's do a quid pro quo so the government doesn't find it. Like, no one talks like that, right?
Yeah.
But they took that phrase out of its context. They didn't read the email. They didn't read the notes from the FBI. They just took that word, and it became the story for the past week,
yeah.
right? And now they have to go, oh, well, it's technically not a smoking gun. There was nothing actually exchanged. It was an FBI official that made the offer, not even a State Department official, right?
Uh-huh.
These are all the problems we have that goes right back to the sensationalism journalism that no longer covers information or facts or presents news as it's supposed to do. I mean, journalists are trained like historians in dealing with leads and stories and whatnot.
Uh-huh. Well, you saw like on Facebook, I got into another Facebook spat.
Of course you did.
I saw that one. That one was a weird one. I found out there are Afghan Trump supporters.
Super weird. Yeah. But, like, because David Podesta emails his son. John Podesta. Why did I call him David? I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, John. You have a white name.
You're thinking of David Pfuhl, who's a different guy.
Whatever. Podesta emails his son and says, oh, I should have warned you. Afghanistan's like the armpit of the third world. Right? Like,
welcome to the armpit of the world.
Yeah, so basically he's calling Afghanistan the armpit of the third world, right? And like these people were so highly offended and claiming that they're killing our culture and they're doing this and this. And
did they read the entire email?
His son
was complaining about how bad the conditions were.
And he's like, yeah, I should have warned you, you know, welcome to the armpit of the third world.
Look, again, an embarrassing email, without a doubt.
Yeah. Right?
But when you take it out of its context, when you're irresponsible with the information, it's a problem. Journalists know this. They do, like, for example, today, when Melania Trump denied the fact that this girl from the Natasha, from the People, that there was any proof, you know, Donald Trump has been denying it, Melania, guess what they did? They released 6 corroborating witnesses that said, look, so journalism isn't dead.
Yeah.
They just choose not to do it when it's expedient, when they need to get the story out. Then it becomes, raises questions.
Yeah.
Possible problem. This could be an issue.
Yeah.
What do you mean this could be an issue? Is it an issue or is it not an issue? If it's not an issue, then I don't want to fucking know about it.
There's a problem when the headline has a question mark in it.
Well, these are what I call journalistic weasel words, right? Yeah. I hate them. It drives me nuts. It's why I canceled all my subscriptions. I no longer have Washington Post. I no longer have New York Times.
Browsers.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, you do.
So what is it? Is it porn? It's porn, isn't it?
Yeah, it's porn.
I figured it was porn. By the way, you giggled. I figured it was porn. So I've canceled all my subscriptions to them, right? Uh-huh. If I'm gonna read the New York Times, I'll go on Incognito and read it. Isn't that funny that I use Incognito to get around the firewall of the 10 free New York Times?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't track
you don't
want to
see all that shit, and you definitely
whereas
don't want
other people use Incognito for porn and stuff. Okay. I use Incognito to read New York Times and Washington Post so they don't catch me.
Yeah, and they also it's
legitimately like I'll show you my it doesn't show up on history, does it?
No.
I'll show you that I have a window open. Like this is literally what I do. So this is what frustrates me though, right? Is that this is what we've come to when we get
you're
to
such an old man
raises questions. Could be a problem. I hate those words. Journalists, if you're an aspiring journalist, I ask you, as one person in the humanities to another, as a person who actually does his fucking job, how about you do your fucking job and actually look for support and evidence rather than sensationalism.
That's some scary shit that the journalists are fucking around. But in honor of what
V. I don't think he actually even listened to anything I said.
I don't pay attention to half the shit you say. I just kind
of
like.
If, in all fairness, I don't listen to 90% of what you
exactly.
say.
Exactly. So like, I listen to like at least 50% of what you say.
At least he laughed when I said browsers.
I did. I paid attention to that because I heard porn. But you know how you did your whole haunted Winchester house thing last week?
Yeah. And I also talked about an axe murder this week, too.
Yeah, you did. Vanderlei Silva. but it's an MMA fighter. Don't look at him like you're going to like telepathically get something out of his brain. I'm just going to let you know what it is.
First of all, it's telepathically. Yeah. I don't know what you said, but that was
telepathically.
That was not a word. That was a Donald Trump word.
It sounds good to me. I apologize for using it wrong. but I want to talk about what happened to Elsa Lam at the Cecil Hotel a few years back in 2013. So,
oh, this was big on Reddit, wasn't it?
This was huge on Reddit. This was huge on the internet. So I don't know if you guys know about the story or not, or know about the Cecil Hotel. The Cecil Hotel.
I do know about the Cecil Hotel. It was a fucking American Horror Story.
Yeah, that's what they.
And I knew before that.
Yeah. Well,
everyone in Southern California does.
Because there's some shady shit that happens there, bro.
I heard Ali actually paints pentagrams in the basement of that hotel.
He does. And Richard Ramirez stayed there once, you know.
Oh, the Night Stalker.
I go there to get my brain cleared.
So in February of 2013, Elsa Lam, who was a student from Canada, came down and she was staying at the Cecil Hotel. Now, she went missing and they couldn't.
Is it the one with the oh, I shouldn't ruin your story.
Yeah, don't ruin my story. So
I got excited. Yeah.
They couldn't. She went missing and like they couldn't find her for a few days, right? And then they found like this footage, like in the elevator footage. And you see her. She's like talking to somebody, but there's nobody in the elevator. She's pushing all the buttons on the elevator. She gets out the elevator, starts shouting at something in the hallway, comes back in the elevator, hides in like a corner, and is like just acting erratically, right? But that's all they see. They sent like dogs. Like, the dogs couldn't find anything. They never find her, right?
BuzzFeed did a video on this, I think.
Yeah. And then, you know, then the patrons of the hotel are saying, hey, there's some odd colored water in like our fountains or in our sinks, and it has like a weird smell to it. So they go and investigate what's like causing the water. They find her body inside one of the water tanks, right? They have four water tanks. They find her body inside one of the water tanks. Now, here's the thing. It is nearly impossible to get to one of those water tanks unless you have access codes or like you have someone you know that.
There's also at no point did they show anyone up there with her.
There was no one up there with her. No codes were accessed. They didn't like it didn't seem like anyone like triggered any alarms to get up there.
There's some people say it could have been drugs, even though they didn't find anything in
her system. They didn't find anything in her system, no.
They say it could have been washed out, though.
But they didn't find anything in her system. Now
That's the explanation.
In the water tanks, you can't close them from the inside.
Yeah.
But somehow they were locked, right? So it's a very mysterious case. And since then, the Cecil Hotel has now changed their name to, like, something in downtown or something. Come stay in downtown, some shit. They changed their name because it's a, you know, some freaky shit happens there.
Spooky. Getting into the mood for Halloween. Diz, why don't you take us out?
Yes. Tell us your favorite scary stories or Donald Trump stories, which are also scary stories, at facebook.com/currentlynerdy.
Hashtag for the week is CN Rigged.
Yeah, CN Rigged. But that's, God, you're jumping the gun here, bro. We haven't gotten to Twitter yet.
Trying to hurry you along.
Yeah, and I'm trying to give you a hint.
Eat my dick. That's a hint. You can catch us on Twitter at Currently Nerdy. Hashtag of the week is #CNRigged. Ali is rigging this thing so you guys don't approve me. We're on Instagram at Currently Nerdy on Instagram. Follow us. Like our pictures. Write some comments. Make V feel any special. We're on the Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there. Follow us. Reblog and write some notes on our stuff. YouTube. V's video is finally going to get put out to, like one of these days. The Harley Quinn video. Blame Ali for it. And we're also on iTunes, so please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, please. And if you don't like iTunes, currentlynerdy.com, great way to stream our website, our podcast. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, tell them how they can get a hold of you.
Girls, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can find me on Twitter at AAOLOMI or on my website at AliAlomi.com. Diz.
You can find me everywhere at Dizbulla, DIZBULLAH.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, Stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you, even if you don't apologize for sexually assaulting women.